Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Payments News. My name is Cindy and today is June 2, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Integrated Transport Center offers online payment in all taxis in Abu Dhabi. 65% of Europe-based e-commerce companies needed extra finance between 2018 to 2020. JCB, TECHFUND join research on sustainable payment system using blockchain. Sephora rolls out new features in its Beauty Insider loyalty program. PruPay, PayPal partner to roll out contactless payments solution. Stackin raises $12.60 million in Series B funding round. Safe Charge, Visa introduce new digital payment options. Jordan sees an increase in mobile wallet usage due to government workers' funds. Brazilians to increase spendings on e-commerce after the pandemic. Collaborators continue US's drive toward faster payments. Tossing out the little black book of shipper carrier matchmaking. Payroll faces new unknowns as a remote workforce grows. Now let's get started. Integrated Transport Center offers online payment in all taxis in Abu Dhabi. The Integrated Transport Center has announced that online payments options are now available for individuals utilizing taxis operating in Abu Dhabi. The ITC of the Department of Municipalities and Transport in Abu Dhabi noted that it had activated online payment onboard the entire taxi fleet operating in the Emirate, consisting of 6,180 vehicles by 7 operating companies. To avail the service, taxi users need to pre-install Abu Dhabi Taxi application, which is available on Apple Store and Google Play, create an account and provide details of their credit cards saved in the app. Once the trip is over, taxi users will make the payment through the app in a fast and smooth process. The center is currently considering the provision of other payment means in future, such as e-purses, to allow passengers diverse options for fare payment, the statement noted. "65% of Europe-based e-commerce companies needed extra finance between 2018 to 2020. A recent survey has unveiled data that shows how 65% of Europe-based e-commerce companies needed extra finance between 2018 to 2020. As stated by E-commerce News Europe, two-thirds of online merchants in Europe have needed extra finance between 2018 to 2020. The survey was conducted among 1,500 online merchants in the UK, Germany, France, Scandinavia, and the Netherlands, excluding any finance required due to the coronavirus crisis. Moreover, among the companies that needed extra money, 23% used it to cover payroll, while 26.5% needed extra cash to cover business costs, Nordic merchants being the ones who are most likely to need cash. Furthermore, regarding smaller e-commerce companies, speed is an important factor when it comes to getting a loan to repair equipment, restock or increase personnel just before important holidays. However, the truth is that most merchants, 24.6%, had to wait between 3 and 4 weeks for funds, while others, 21.7%, had to wait 1 to 2 months, and 6% of all respondents even had to wait between 5 and 6 months, E-commerce News Europe stated. JCB, TECHFUND join research on sustainable payment systems using blockchain. JCB, a global payment network and a large issuer and acquirer in Japan, has joined TECHFUND to conduct research on the construction of a sustainable payment system using blockchain. Based on TECHFUND's blockchain technologies such as STO, security token offering, a method of raising funds through tokenized securities issued on the blockchain, and staking, earning a reward by continuously holding cryptocurrencies and contributing to the stability of the system, both parties jointly research the payment platform that will contribute to solving various issues in the payment field. JCB launched its card business in Japan in 1961 and began expanding worldwide in 1981. Its acceptance network includes about 34 million merchants as well as cash advance locations around the world. JCB cards are now issued in 24 countries and territories, with more than 140 million card members. TECHFUND is a technology accelerator promoting innovation in startups and large companies. So far, the company has been involved in more than 300 teams of mentoring and due diligence and has invested in 10 companies. Sephora rolls out new features in its Beauty Insider loyalty program. Sephora has launched a new series of features on its Insider loyalty program, starting from the 29th of May 2020 in North America. According to the press release, Sephora launched new offerings in its Beauty Insider loyalty program, such as point multiplier events, more sampling choices, and experiences like early access to brand launches and beauty events whenever social distancing restrictions begin to lift and companies can safely welcome clients back. Some of the new features include: Beauty Insider Cash members can use their earned points to get instant savings at checkout, as 500 points give members $10 off at checkout online and in-store. Rewards Bazaar, an online platform where members can exchange their points for a variety of products. Using Your Points to Give Back, launching in June 2020, clients can use their points to make a difference. By redeeming points for a charity reward, Sephora will donate the corresponding amount to the Tides Foundation to benefit a featured charity. Sephora Credit Card, a card that includes member benefits with a 4% back on every Sephora purchase, and no annual fees. PruPay, PayPal partner to roll out contactless payments solution. U.S.-based payments technology company PruPay has partnered with PayPal to launch a contactless payment solution. According to Verdict UK, the solution, called PruPay Touchless, will allow merchants to request one-time payments from consumers through text messages, while customers will be enabled to pay for their purchases using major credit cards. Therefore, the solution enables them to complete transactions without sharing credit card numbers or addresses over the phone. Additionally, the customers will also receive a payment confirmation, which they can show to a delivery driver to procure the order. Moreover, PruPay Touchless enables merchants to enter payment requests and view orders. They can also customize convenience fees, delivery fees, or other markups. The tool will feature an order management dashboard to help in identifying unpaid orders. Furthermore, they can add delivery or pickup notes with the orders. Overall, the implementation of the solution will help in carrying out transactions, while maintaining social distancing protocols amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Stackin raises $12.60 million in Series B funding round. U.S.-based text message financial platform Stackin has raised a $12.6 million Series B funding round. According to the press release, the funding round was led by Octopus Ventures, along with participation from new and existing investors including Experian Ventures, Cherry Tree Investments, Dig Ventures, Mucker Capital, Unlock Venture Partners, Techstars, and Wavemaker Partners. With this funding, Stackin aims to become the main financial connection point to its subscribers, as the company utilizes machine learning, data, and predictive analytics to place users into helpful financial products. Besides, the company plans to expand to the UK in late 2020. In addition, Stakken will expand its marketplace that currently offers deposit, checking and investing products to include credit cards, loans and insurance. The marketplace will continue to be curated around products and services that are beneficial to the Stakken subscriber. Moreover, the company recently announced a collaboration with Twilio and Google to be among the companies that use verified SMS to strengthen relationships with their customers. The verified SMS technology enables select partners to send branded and authenticated SMS to build trust, maintain the integrity of their brands, and boost engagement with their customers. SafeCharge, Visa introduce new digital payment options. UK-based payments platform SafeCharge has announced a new Visa-supported solution offering SMEs alternative ways to accept digital payments in response to the COVID-19 crisis. SafeCharge Local enables consumers to make payments online and over the phone whilst also providing a better consumer experience in store by reducing queues and limiting the need for close customer contact at the point of sale. At the heart of SafeCharge Local is a digital payment solution called PayLink, which enables businesses to receive payments through the use of QR codes and secure payment links without the need for a physical point of sale terminal or an online shop. As business owners adapt to new restrictions around physical distancing, the solution offers customers an easy, fast and secure way to make payments through their mobile phones and smart devices. Through SafeCharge Local, small businesses can choose to accept payments in two ways, by generating a unique QR code or email link directing consumers to a secure page where they can complete the transaction, or by creating a secure payment page that can be completed when consumers place orders over the phone. Jordan sees an increase in mobile wallet usage due to government workers' funds. Jordan has seen an increase in mobile wallets usage, as the government urged workers to open mobile wallets and telcos surged their applications for remote payments. According to Verdict UK, mobile financial services (MFS) in Jordan have witnessed growth with the number of mobile wallets reaching 760,000 wallets in April 2020. This represents around 10% of the total mobile subscriber base, with a total transaction value of US$88.1 million, up from US$26.7 million in December 2019. It also represents a 230% increase in transaction value in April 2020 versus December 2019, and a 25% increase in the number of wallets over the same period. There are multiple reasons behind the boost in the uptake and transaction values of mobile wallets, one of them being the government's decision to support the daily workers whose jobs were affected in this pandemic by a weekly fund. Therefore, the government urged those workers to open mobile wallets to receive their funds. This initial phase of the workers' fund started in April 2020 and is expected to last until the end of June 2020. Another cause for the boost of mobile wallets is the provision of mobile wallets applications made by telcos, in order to enable their customers to make transactions such as top-ups and payments remotely. Jordan is a prepaid mobile market with circa 80% of the customers on prepaid plans, the top-up transaction being vital to keep people connected. Overall, telecom operators have an important part in Jordan's mobile wallet development. For example, Telco Orange is present in this space with the Orange Money Wallet, Zain with the Zain Cash Wallet, and Umnia provides the Mafasti Wallet. Additionally, financial institutions also play a key role in the ecosystem with solutions including Dinark, National Wallet, Gada, and other banks, Verdict UK stated. Brazilians to increase spendings on e-commerce after the pandemic. A research launched by Brazil-based payments fintech EBANX has revealed a tendency to maintain or increase the average purchase frequency on e-commerce, amid the pandemic. EBANX conducted a survey with more than 1,500 consumers of international websites in Brazil, between April and May 2020. According to the press release, the data shows that within the scenario of COVID-19, many Brazilians expect to maintain or increase the purchasing frequency on international e-commerce websites. Most of those who shopped frequently on international websites before the pandemic show a tendency to maintain or increase the frequency during the pandemic, 53%. The same behavior is shown among the survey participants who are currently receiving government financial aid. Moreover, Boleto Bancário, a Brazilian payment method that allows payment with cash, is still a very important option for Brazilians who buy on e-commerce, as more than 34% of all survey respondents said they normally chose to pay their international purchases with it before the pandemic. The preference for this payment method was always above 30% among all family income ranges, except for the highest one, and even in this range, the preference was still significant, with a result of 22%. Besides, most of Brazilians who paid for their international purchases with Boleto before COVID-19 said they would not change the payment method during the pandemic, 86%. However, what changed in the current scenario is the way they pay it. Therefore, 67% of Brazilians who were already buying on international websites with Boleto before the pandemic stated that they will choose an online payment experience to pay the Boleto during the pandemic. This behavior may be the result of social distancing measures, with restricted operation at many lottery stores, bank branches, and other places authorized to charge these amounts in the country. In addition to the Boleto, installments also appeared as an important payment method, regardless of the family income range, as almost 54% of all respondents stated that they prefer to pay for their international purchases with installments during the pandemic. Collaborators continue US's drive toward faster payments. Whether payments industry stakeholders are moving to develop entirely new infrastructure to improve payments, or to develop new capabilities upon existing infrastructure to make progress, this week's look at payment rail innovation reflects a focus on industry collaboration to take steps toward faster payments ubiquity. With investors backing one fintech focused on developing a new rail for B2B payments, and the U.S. Faster Payments Council embracing a new round of leadership, industry cooperation appears key to financing initiatives and promoting innovation. That's particularly true in the U.S. as NACHA, the Federal Reserve, the Clearing House, and other participants made additional steps toward real-time payments. Satoshi Pay raises $550,000. As Satoshi Pay progresses in its initiative to build a new payment rail for B2B transactions, the company saw investment from the Stellar Development Foundation, SDF's Enterprise Fund, PYMNTS, reported last week. With $550,000 in new funding, Satoshi Pay is headed toward a public beta launch of its technology in the year's fourth quarter, the company noted. This being SDF's third investment in Satoshi Pay, Stellar will continue to collaborate with the company as it targets speed and affordability of cross-border B2B payments based on Stellar's blockchain infrastructure. U.S. makes faster payments progress. The U.S. Faster Payments Council, FPC, named its 2020 board of directors last week, according to a press release sent to PYMNTS, with industry stakeholders joining, including Ripple's Pat Thelen, Microsoft's Stuart Dwyer, and others. FPC Board Chair Michael Bilski said the board of directors will guide the development of the council's implementation strategy as it aims to guide the U.S. toward faster payments ubiquity. With the Federal Reserve a founding sponsor of the FPC, and with NACHA a collaborator, the Council is exploring ways to introduce entirely new payment rails into the U.S. like the Fed's FedNow service, which is in development, as well as improve upon existing infrastructure like ACH payments. Paychex stakes real-time payments claim. Payroll technology firm Paychex revealed in a blog post last month that it claims to be the first human resources (HR) solution provider that enables businesses to use real-time payments to compensate employees more quickly. Using the Clearing House's RTP network, Paychex's adoption of real-time payments has turned an often discussed use case for faster payments payroll into a reality. In a statement, Paychex President and CEO Martin Mucci said the pandemic has introduced a new sense of urgency to ensure professionals can be paid as quickly as possible. NACHA certifies secure payment systems. In its latest certification, ACH organization NACHA announced that Secure Payment Systems has been awarded certified status for its accomplishments in compliance and risk management. According to Notch's announcement, Secure Payment Systems moves $18 billion every year via ACH across the U.S. and Canada to retail, wholesale and corporate recipients. High-quality payments are an integral part of a strong ACH network, said Notch's Senior Vice President of ACH Network Administration Michael Hurd in a statement. Tossing out the little black book of shipper-carrier matchmaking. A steady stream of trade and commerce will be critical to economic recovery, but with supply chains disrupted and many logistics operations forced to upend their business models, plenty of obstacles remain in the way of frictionless movement of goods. Although the pandemic has introduced immense and unfamiliar challenges to the logistics and supply chain management space, friction is nothing new in the sector, said Dan Clark, Vice President of Product Innovation and Strategy at Trimble and founder of Cubix, a Trimble company. As Clark recently told PYMNTS, one of the biggest bottlenecks is in matching shippers with carriers that meet their transportation and capacity needs, and it's a roadblock to seamless trade that can cause cash flow bottlenecks, too. The little black book. Shippers historically have relied on limited contact databases for their capacity needs, Clark explained. Some maintained contact lists in little black books that they would have to manually flip through to find numbers for carriers. Then, they would have to actually call those carriers up and make delivery arrangements. Unsurprisingly, this manual, paper-based process would take hours. While the shipping and logistics sector has indeed made progress toward digitization, Clark noted that the process of connecting shippers and carriers remains one with limited visibility and lots of wasted time. Some shippers are still relying on spreadsheets and endless email chains to manage their transportation operations, he said. This way of doing business is both slow and leaves valuable money on the table when shippers aren't shopping around for the best rates. Connectivity through big data. Developing a community of shippers and carriers that can connect digitally is the first step to tossing out the little black book and spreadsheets. But modernizing this landscape means expanding beyond the matchmaking process to truly optimize the movement of goods and streamline cash flows. Big data is vital to achieving that optimization, said Clark, and was a key focus of Cubix's latest updates to its community load match solution, announced late last month. By combining shippers, carriers, brokers and other players in the process on a single portal, a third-party platform can pre-vet companies to ensure the right match is made. After that link is created, big data enables for heightened transparency as goods are transported, with all of that information able to be integrated into users' back offices. We live in the era of big data, he said. Harnessing the power of technology gives shippers access to all the data and metrics which were going undocumented when they were relying on phone calls and emails. This information is essential to contract compliance as well as timely and accurate B2B payments, Clark added, pointing to Cubix Freight Pay and Audit solution that supports seamless data integration along the matchmaking, booking and payment process. Driving the economy forward. Accelerating and optimizing the matchmaking process offers the ability to keep commerce flowing, a feat now more important than ever. Today's economic uncertainty means shippers especially can benefit from using technology to mitigate the risk of lane rate volatility and work with reputable shippers, said Clark. Recovery isn't guaranteed to be swift or easy, even with automated technology reducing friction along the supply chain. Clark said he expects corporations will continue to tighten their belts and focus on a do more with less attitude even into 2021, although he noted there is a significant opportunity for automation technology to step in and support businesses' cost-cutting and workflow optimization efforts. Already, the shipping and logistics market has displayed resilience amid some of its most trying times as panic shopping weighed down supply chains for products like pasta and toilet paper. But just as technology will be essential to enabling shipping and logistics players to continue to persevere, economic recovery fueled by supply chain optimization will also rely on a collaborative approach. For shippers, that means developing connections with a range of carriers, a tactic Clark explained as building their bench of carriers in order to ensure all loads are covered even during times of crisis. The supply chain is as resilient as it is essential for our economy, he said. Payroll faces new unknowns as a remote workforce grows. Had it occurred during any other socioeconomic moment in U.S. history, Facebook's announcement that it is planning for up to half of its workforce to permanently work remotely might have shocked some in the business world. While discussions about the eventual shift of professionals out of the office to work from home have circulated for years, many businesses, large and small, retained the traditional workplace model. Yet with stay-at-home mandates continuing, and businesses of all types developing innovative ways to maintain productivity while talent works remote, Facebook's move to adopt this model for the long haul was less of a surprise. Indeed, digitization has made it easier than ever for professionals to work remotely, and the global pandemic has only accelerated technological innovation to continue lowering barriers for a workforce unable to meet in person or step into the office. What Facebook's announcement has done, however, is introduce a new debate. If the future of the workforce is remote, how will that impact compensation? In a recent conversation with PYMNT's Oyster co-founder Jack Mardick discussed some of the potential implications of Facebook's compensation strategy at a time when a growing remote workforce is introducing new opportunities for talent around the globe. A compensation debate. According to Mardick, Facebook's announcement last month was remarkable in that it reflects an emerging shift in the payroll and human resources (HR) landscape. Ultimately, we're headed for a new kind of talent market that has not really existed before, he said. Suddenly, now, if you're head of HR, you all of a sudden need a remote working compensation policy and make that a way to attract candidates and prospects. That's the world we're living in. The big debate that is boiling to the surface, particularly following Facebook's announcement, is how to compensate remote workers. Mardick explained there are generally two schools of thought in this respect. The first is for employers to base employee pay the same way they would if they were working within an office. The second, and the strategy that Facebook has decided to deploy, is to adjust compensation taking into account where the location of the employee is. Two professionals with the same job title, responsibilities, and seniority won't be paid the same if one lives in San Francisco and the other lives in Denver, for example, because the cost of living in each city is not equal. Unlocking doors for talent. As more organizations consider the opportunities in allowing professionals to continue working from home after social distancing mandates lift, establishing a remote working policy that includes clear guidelines on compensation is necessary. The global pandemic has validated the remote working model, said Mardick. Now it's time for organizations to choose the best path forward. He likened this paradigm shift to the cloud migration more than a decade ago. While technology has undeniably changed the way businesses operate, not all companies were immediately on board with the tool. Today, talent attraction and retention are no longer about pinball machines and expensive coffee makers in the office, and according to Mardick, the organizations that recognize this first will be ahead of the game. This migration isn't only about domestic shifts in the workforce, either. Mardick highlighted the opportunity for organizations from Facebook all the way down to corner stores and mom-and-pop shops to hire talent overseas. With cross-border payments infrastructure in place, Oyster integrates global payments fintech TransferWise, whose co-founder and CEO Tavit Henricus is also an investor in the company. Within its own global payroll solution, Mardick said that cross-border payroll isn't necessarily challenged by the logistics of moving money across borders. Rather, it's about compliant and correct withholdings as tax and labor laws change from one jurisdiction to the next. This expansion of hiring across borders could also further ignite a debate about the most appropriate compensation strategy, opening up the floor for organizations to decide whether a professional in Dubai should be paid the same as a professional in Los Angeles. If not, employers must explore how to benchmark salary, which market rate to use, and according to Mardick, understand that the concept of market rate may change dramatically. What happens when the market rate is influenced by remote workers? In 10 years, what will market rates mean around the world? If the world is significantly distributed, it will be irrelevant, he said. There's no guarantee that corporations will follow Facebook's path and no certainty that the future workforce will be mostly, if not entirely, remote. But it's likely that the current workforce climate will usher in significant changes to hiring, working and paying employees. And despite the challenges ahead from facilitating seamless global payments to promoting compliance, global hiring capabilities have the potential to positively impact the world workforce. Growing companies today, now more than ever, are interested in expanding their talent pool and going all remote, said Mardik. This is an amazing cultural moment for us now to think differently about what will be the future relationship, if any, between where people live and where they work. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.